It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up? Welcome back to another BuzzBeat episode. This is Richie, and we've got some news on a new head coach in Charlotte. When Rick Schnall at the Wells Fargo said that the announcement was coming soon, he definitely wasn't joking here. I'll be joined by Brian today, and at the end of the episode, Spencer has given his quick thoughts on the hire as well, and that audio will be attached to the end of this quick conversation. And as we get into this, be sure to give us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify and let us know how we're doing. It takes all of 1 minute, and we will read the thoughtful reviews on upcoming episodes. So we appreciate that. Brian, how's everything going?
I'm doing all right. Good to see you 2 days in a row here, Richie. And I'm interested to talk to hire. I think this guy, you know, Charles Lee seemed like the favorite here for a little while. So excited to kind of get in some of our thoughts. We've covered a couple of coaching searches with this franchise going back a few years now. So it's good to have that in place, and we'll see how the staff comes together here too.
Yeah. Nothing new to us. We've done this before, but yeah, to Brian's point, the news did break today, Thursday morning. If you're listening to this on Friday, the Charlotte had hired Charles Lee, and that deal was for 4 seasons. Throughout the process, there was a lot of names that kind of came through, that cycled through. Jordy Fernandez, who's now with the Nets, Chris Quinn with the Heat, Kevin Young, who took a job with BYU, Lamar Skeeter. And then out of left field, we ultimately came down to J.J. Redick. We assume he was a finalist. And then Charles Lee, who always seemed to be the leader to get the job. And I thought the timing of Clifford stepping down and making his announcement as the Celtics were just in town the night before, a couple nights before, seemed very coincidental, but maybe it was all part of the plan with Charles Lee. And if you had listened to an episode about a month ago, I had profiled Jordy Fernandez of the Kings and kind of got an inside look on his work ethic and what people thought of him. And that was also when it was revealed to me that the Hornets were basically locked into Charles Lee. And so without revealing the name, if you can kind of make a connection between the Hornets organization and someone currently within the Kings organization, you might be able to figure out who shared that information with me. But before we talk about Charles Lee, I guess we really haven't talked about J.J. Redick too much on the actual podcast. And, you know, we never shared our thoughts. But let's just say, BG, that J.J. was the hire. How would you have felt about that hire versus Charles Lee?
I would have been like a little intrigued by it. I mean, he clearly is has an incredible database of basketball information. Redick does. And just from like observing his career in media, is clearly a guy that seems open and interested in like new ideas and like outside ideas. Right. I mean, like, yeah, the Mind the Game podcast with LeBron is cool. And certainly who wouldn't want to do a, you know, record a basketball podcast with, you know, 1A, 1B, the greatest player of all time, who's also he himself is sort of like a supercomputer of basketball info. But just, you know, bringing on guys like the Dunker Spot with Nikias Duncan and Steve Jones, two excellent basketball minds, too. But two guys that were maybe sort of like finding guys. I know Steve Jones coached in the NBA for a little bit, right. but finding guys that were sort of from like alternative paths to having, you know, platforms talking the game of basketball. And JJ has also been someone that on social media has like shared a lot of stuff when he's seen good work from other people. And it's been kind of cool hearing him like call out, you know, him name drop different, you know, people that I know just from NBA Twitter and stuff like that. So I think it would have been interesting. I think it would have been very interesting to see how he would have put together a staff if he had been the guy. And I think one day JJ could be an NBA head coach. And he got, you know, he had some buzz a year ago with this stuff as well. But for a guy like him who's got this like burgeoning media career and things just get, his platform gets bigger with ESPN and with his own podcast network. He's got a young family. He coaches one of his kids. Like, I get that there's only 30 NBA jobs, but it just seemed like, you know, why wouldn't you want to just keep doing what you got going on and maybe wait for like a really, really good opportunity? Not like this, you know, coaching the Hornets now wouldn't be a, is a bad one, but I do think the stuff with, I think you and Spencer and Darren, we were texting about this a week or so ago. It did feel like, I think to myself and maybe some of y'all as well, like the stuff with Redick, it was like it, having those rumors get floated, having his name get floated, having that stuff, you know, get out there and get reported on and tweeted about and stuff, it sort of like works for both parties, even if there's, even if you can't really tell, like if it's just like smoke or if it's like genuine, genuine interest. And this guy was, you know, the number two guy on the list or whatever. But like, you know, the Hornets and a new ownership group get to look like outside thinkers. They're picking a popular media guy that, you know, people are going to talk about, as opposed to it's, you know, it being like, oh, the Hornets are interviewing another assistant coach. That's mostly anonymous to people. Despite the, other than like his affiliation with a certain franchise or another certain, you know, head coach. And then for a guy like Redick, who really is like growing, I think, you know, organically a pretty cool like following and is doing very creative stuff in the basketball media space, but like is really trying to corner I sort of like hesitate to use the word market earnestly, but for lack of a better term, like is looking to like set himself up as like the X and O sort of like, you know, smart, the person who consumes like smart basketball NBA media, but like Redick is where you want to go to. Like it behooves him to also get his name floated in these types of spaces as well, right? Because it makes him look like, I mean, not like anyone should be questioning like his bona fides. He played in the NBA for 15 years. He played for Coach K. Like, the guy's obviously, you know, lives and breathes and loves the game and is like constantly trying to learn and is like a very good broadcaster. But it makes sense for him too, right? So like, I don't know, maybe that's not actually the case, but it is, he is a name that when he does get floated, even when it hasn't been with, because I think it was Toronto maybe a year ago as well too, like it kind of makes some sense. And I just think in a like media saturated environment, even like owners and front office people that are like running these searches and making these decisions, like they're getting a lot of similar inputs that we are, right? Just in terms of like what's available publicly from the media. And so it would make sense for, you know, you listen to one of Redick's pods, you hear him being talked about in a very positive fashion, you hear him call a game and you're like, well, hell, why wouldn't we bring this guy in for an interview? He does well and he keeps going from there. But so I don't know. I'm interested. I think one day it will happen. It didn't seem like this was the moment. Yeah. Right? And certainly like Lee made just so much sense for Charlotte.
Yeah, I definitely think it was the right decision to skip over JJ for Charles Lee. To your point, it was intriguing. It kind of would have signaled something different, thinking outside the box with JJ. But I also think, you know, there is just a much higher chance of things going wrong with him. He is a smart basketball mind, and I think players would respect him because he's been there before, but he just hasn't been there as a coach in any kind of capacity at a high, high level. And it feels like he'd be skipping some steps. And I think he needs to be an assistant for several seasons before I'd even feel comfortable giving him a role like that. So I mostly, yeah, agree with you, BG, that the better decision was choosing Lee over Redick, even though the idea of JJ seems like an intriguing one. So let's go ahead and get into Charles Lee, the actual head coach of the Hornets now, and we can just kind of talk about why we like him or what's intriguing about him. I think the first thing that sticks out to me is just the fact that he has been a part of winning organizations, and he's a young guy, 39 years old, so they brought in a guy that obviously has no head coaching experience before, but he's been around some organizations, and this season he's with the winningest team in the league in Boston, and in his time with Atlanta, Milwaukee, and now Boston, he's accumulated 510 wins, 291 losses. That win percentage is just very, very, very high. And you know, his teams for the most part have played well on both ends of the court. Boston this season, adjusted offense, first overall, second on defense. When Milwaukee won the ring in 2020, 2021, sixth on offense, 10th on defense. So having that balance on both ends of the court. And the last four of the six seasons, his teams have finished with the best record in the NBA. And I think a lot of times, you know, you think of the Bostons, you think of the Milwaukees, but I think people forget about the Atlanta stint that he had in his time with Budenholzer and the Hawks. In his first season, the Hawks won 60 games, made it to the conference finals in the Eastern Conference. And obviously that's where the connection was made to Schnall and Jeff Peterson. That's where it all started. And I've said this multiple times, Brian, but just because you're on a winning team, it doesn't necessarily mean you were the reason for it, or it doesn't automatically translate over to him being a winning coach in Charlotte, but he has at least experienced winning habits. He wants to be competitive, and I know the fans do too. So I'm not sure how much stock you put into that in terms of being part of a winner, being on winning teams early and often, and he also might even get another ring this season.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
A couple of things. He comes from, you know, you talked about these sort of like successful winning franchises. Like you can like lump that into his pedigree now, right? Like yeah. That's a big part of it. The time with Budenholzer is interesting, especially if you think about how the way those Bucks teams played with those two guys there. Think about how good their defense was when it was at full hum with Giannis and Brook Lopez in the drop. I think about what that means maybe for Mark Williams from a development standpoint. I think that's really interesting. Maybe we'll see if that sort of speaks to the type of defense we'll see with the Hornets deploy. Obviously, in Boston, they play some drop coverage, you know, with Porzingis, but it's a very creative defense too, right? Like he and Joe Mazz, especially this season, they've just been like throwing curveballs all season long with matchups. They'll put they're going to move guys around defensively. They'll put Luke Kornet on opposing guards. I mean, I don't know who's, you know, pushing those buttons or promoting those ideas, but I like the fact that he's been a part of like both like a very like flexible kind of in like nimble coaching staff with a team like the Celtics. And then also being a part of like the Coach Bud system, which is, I don't want to say rigid, but just like, They've got their system, right? And it's not like they've got blinders on, but they coach Bud's teams, like they stick to the plan.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
So I kinda like having those two schools of thought. I think it speaks very highly of Lee. There's a lot of different things you can like, you know, point to on his resume and pick out and highlight as being like positive indicators. I think the fact that like he was brought in to be the number two guy or whatever with Joe Mazzulla after they had a big coaching shakeup is a huge deal too, you know, for sort of just like Lee's, just how he's thought of as a coaching candidate amongst executives. Brad Stevens, I think he already won the NBA Executive of the Year. If he hasn't, he is a shoo-in to win it. I'm assuming he won it already though. But looking at some of his coaching hires, Ime Udoka, Joe Mazzulla, you know, getting promoted. You know, Will Hardy already, he's left. He's done a great job in Utah. You know, Charles Lee gets brought in to sort of like replace Will Hardy to an extent. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, that. These are all very good young coaches in the NBA. So, you know, and maybe this is like a in Brad we trust kind of moment too. But just everything Charlotte has done the last, you know, few months has just made so much sense. They've picked a direction. I like the fact, you know, he's only 39 years old. I like them going a little bit younger here. We'll be curious to see how he builds out a staff. Richie, you may have even seen this, but I saw, I don't remember, I should want to have the name to credit the reporter, but maybe Darvin Ham even getting mentioned as a possible like lead assistant coach for Charles Lee.
Yeah, they go back to Atlanta. They go back to Atlanta, so.
Atlanta and Milwaukee as well.
Right.
So, you know, another guy that was a lieutenant for Coach Bud, and we'll see, because it also looks like Coach Bud is going to be the head coach of the Suns next season. So who knows, maybe there will be a little bit more demand for Darvin Ham. But I think it's a good situation, and I just think it speaks to the fact that, like, I'm happy to see this, that I think the Hornets are going to take, like, a open-minded and patient approach to team building around LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, and Brandon Miller. And I think bringing in a young guy, as opposed to trying to get Coach Bud or to hire Frank Vogel, like all these great NBA coaches, right? But guys that you copy and paste to, like, win now, kind of. And Charlotte's going to try to compete next season for sure. But it just does speak to the fact that I think they're taking a slightly, the horizon has broadened, and bringing in a guy like Lee, I think, is another indicator of that.
Yeah. When we first started talking about, like, the types of coaches, we were somewhat debating whether or not it was going to be this type of coach or more of an experienced coach. And we kind of always lean towards this type of coach with Lee. Obviously, the inexperience is a little bit, you know, nerve wracking, not knowing what he can be as a head coach. But I think the patient approach is what they're going for. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention outside of his winning habits is the fact that he is a former player himself. He has been touted as a guy that has been a relationship builder. He did go undrafted in the NBA, but he played overseas in Belgium and Germany and Israel. And there's just something about being a former player and having that knowledge and respect that's there that just doesn't come from a non-former player. Now, That's not to say that you can't be a good coach if you've never played professionally, but I do feel like it does give him a leg up in terms of just some of the ins and outs of being a professional. And he's a guy that can communicate with others. That's always been something that's been kind of associated with his name. And so with him being a guard, I feel like that connection with LaMelo should be able to kind of relate on that type of level. He's also worked closely with Chris Middleton with the Bucks. And if you look at his profile as a player, a lot of similarities in terms of, like, Brandon Miller with the pull-up mid-range attempts, the on-ball shot creation, the three-point shooting. It's not a perfect comparison, but there's a mold there that works. So there's always assistants that work with players, and Middleton was one that was assigned to Charles Lee. So to see that development and also how that can translate over to Brandon Miller, that will be pretty interesting. So that's really the only thing I wanted to mention, was the fact that he is a former player. He has the ability to communicate with others. And the only thing that I've heard, I don't know if it's bad about him, but, like, as it comes to communication, and you never know what it's like in the practices, some people say he's a little bit soft-spoken. Like, there's not, like, an intensity or like, a side that kind of can turn on a player. That's what I do wonder sometimes. Like, knowing that, can he be harsh? Can he be a little bit more intense to get the best out of these guys? But it's hard to really know just from, like, these stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, you won't know until you see it. Yeah, it's a hard job. Being an NBA coach is a hard job, man. It's tough. You got criticism coming at you from every direction. The hours are brutal. The money's very good. The money is very, very good. It's a very cool job, but it's difficult, and a lot of stuff goes into it outside of just, like, you know, do you know cool plays? There's a lot more to it than that. And especially at the NBA level, it's a lot of, like, you know, it's not all on the head coach, but, you know, there's a lot of people in house that are tasked with, you know, like any other job, like, part of it's going to come down to, like, managing people, you know. And Richie, I'm sure you and I have had all different kinds of bosses with different management tactics, and, like, some work better than others, you know. So it's a new experience, but this made sense for so many different reasons. And if I could just share as a very quick aside, this is I too have been coached by Charles Lee once a lifetime ago when I was a kid. He was a counselor at the Skinprosser Wake Forest basketball camp. And Charles Lee was actually my coach at the camp. Which was pretty cool. And I have memories of he and Chris Paul and Justin Gray, who was an all ACC guard on those weight teams. He's now the head coach at Winthrop, where he was at Western Carolina. Now he's at Winthrop, but sort of all part of, like, the Skinprosser tree. And yeah, those guys, Paul, Gray and Lee, I remember them having, like, late night, you know, shooting sessions in the gym at Wake. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to see if I can find it. But I believe I have like a player evaluation, a camper evaluation of Charles Lee on my game from a basketball camp a million years ago. So
uncoachable, doesn't listen.
Yeah, doesn't. I mean, you look, Richie, you coach me now, you know, Richie can tell you I'm a hassle to deal with. I'm a diva. I demand things a certain way. I demand, you know, I get to predict all the start times for us when we record. I make sure that I get to talk the most. Like I want the ball, you know, and but just is very cool. So basketball can be like a small world sometimes, you know, and to see Charles Lee coming back to North Carolina or to the Carolinas, he sort of like emphasized the Carolinas connection with basketball during his press conference and stuff today is cool.
All right, this is Spencer Percy. I think at this point safe to say a BuzzBeat podcast correspondent. Going to talk about Charles Lee real quick, being hired as the next head coach for the Charlotte Hornets. You know, as Richie laid out really well, this was always the favorite in this process, with his ties to Rick Schnall and the Atlanta Hawks, you know, earlier in his career. Overall, I do like this hire for the Hornets. This is a young coach, 39 years old, that you pair with a young GM and Jeff Peterson. And, you know, the first thing I would say to expect is creativity. This duo, this brand new duo to the franchise, I think are going to take some very strategic and creative risk and swings, whether that be trade, whether that be free agency. Obviously, in this case, with Charles in coaching style, I think they're going to try a lot of new things. And that's something new to this franchise. You know, I think that James Borrego, you know, certainly was probably the most creative coach, willing to think outside the box and try new things and really lean into strengths, if that means sacrificing some of the development with your weaknesses. You know, we saw that with Borrego. I think we're going to see maybe more of that, but, you know, over a more diverse total portfolio, if you will, with Charles. But I really, I keep talking about this duo between Jeff and Charles. I think this is very intriguing. It's very interesting, and I expect some calculated risk, which I think are very needed for a franchise like Charlotte. You know, to quickly touch on the J.J. Redick rumors, connection to him being a finalist to this job, you know, I always had the hunch that this was probably a PR move that both parties benefit from in different ways. For J.J., if he truly does want to be a coach, well, it helps that he was a finalist for a job, right? Like, that's going to help him moving forward. Not that J.J. Redick necessarily needs that. He's got a lot of stature with his name in general and his time in the league. But for the Hornets, you know, just to be able to, you know, J.J.'s got this podcast. It's very popular. You know, people really think he's a high IQ, cerebral person, even outside of basketball, right? So for the Hornets, it's a win because we courted J.J. Redick. We brought him in. We were trying to think outside the box here. It just gets your brand, your name circulating more on the internet, in social media, in NBA circles, right? So it was always, again, kind of my hunch that this was a little handshake deal between both parties, because both parties in theory benefit, and there's no real risk in doing that, right? So it doesn't bother me, to be sure. But Charles Lee was always the guy here, and, you know, again, Richie laid that out really well. He became more the guy when the Nets hired who they did a few weeks ago. So overall, this is good. I think this is good for the Hornets. I'm excited to see what Charles can come in and do immediately. I mean, there is certainly talent on this roster. If LaMelo can be healthy, if you can get Mark Williams back and he can play 60 games, you know, something like this roster isn't depleted. It's very young still, but it is certainly not depleted. And there is a 40-ish win team in here somewhere. Can Charles Lee be the person to start to cultivate that team and those wins? We shall see. But overall, I would give this a B+. I like this hire. I think he was the obvious fit with his past connections and his quick rise. I guess I should have covered too. I mean, he was hired as an assistant at Bucknell, you know, where he played college basketball, you know, just 11, 12 years ago. And now here he is being the head coach of an NBA team. That is a very quick rise, and 39 is very young for this role he's about to take on. So I like the aggression from the ownership. Again, I like the duo they have put together. We'll see what happens. Onward.
All right. We appreciate everyone tuning in to another episode. I know we just recorded an episode yesterday or 2 days ago, so don't forget about that. That was our final standout skill series where we finished conversations about Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller. Good conversation there. As Brian mentioned, the next order of business for Charles Lee is to fill out that staff. It'll be interesting to see if anyone from the current staff stays over or if it's just going to be a complete wipeout. But we have Charles Lee, the Hornets' 12th head coach in franchise history. Take care, everyone. For Brian, I'm Richie. We'll talk to you guys later.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.